and gentlemen, this is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Monday afternoon. And it feels like we're back. We're back. It's been a crazy couple of weeks, folks, here at the Alex Jones Network. I was on vacation for a week. Then Alex was on vacation for a week, so I was filling in for Alex. Of course, Rex Jones filling all of the holes in the schedule. And then, of course, the tail end of last week, I was out Thursday and Friday because I was doing a couple of big debates with Brandon Straka of the Walk Away Movement. And it was absolutely a blast. It was very fun, very entertaining. I'm very excited for our debate to come out. I'm even more excited for the other debates to come out, arguing things like America First versus MAGA, or just conspiracy theories in general. The conspiracy theory debate was not the most intellectually rigorous, let's just say. It was more fun, and it'll be a great debate, and it'll be very fun, and it's very entertaining and very fun to be a part of. But I had done so much research and note-taking before the debate, I'm going to have to put it to use. So maybe later this week, we're going to do a full-fledged, like, you know, what is a conspiracy breakdown? Because the more you think about it, the more absurd everything gets. Like, just for a quick example, Russiagate. They call Russiagate a conspiracy, but what are they talking about? Because the original claim was a conspiracy theory about Trump conspiring with the Russians. But of course, that was made up by his opposition. So now the conspiracy theory is that there was a conspiracy to create a fake conspiracy to blame on Trump so you could spy on him. And it's just like, it's like Jacob's Ladder or something. You know, you can't get a grip. You can't get a hold of anything. However, you know, diving down that rabbit hole and just trying to quantify or identify or figure out a good definition for the word conspiracy theory, the phrase conspiracy theory, is very interesting. So excited to talk a little later about that. America First versus MAGA, of course, got a little bit more heated, a little bit more contentious. I was on team with some very good debaters, including Viva Fry and Chase Geyser and Alex Stein. So we won. So, you know, suffice it to say, I'm pretty sure we won the debate. But we'll wait till it comes out. It was very fun. But definitely a big thanks to Brandon Straka for bringing us all together. You know, when I first joined InfoWars 2017 through like 2020 or so, really before we got hit with not just the trials themselves, but the decisions of the trials, the bankruptcy that we were forced into because of the show trials, all that stuff, we had to stop traveling as much. It used to be that we traveled all the time. I was looking back at my calendar from like 2018, and it was like every month I was going to New York or DC covering events here, events there. And I miss that. And I feel like our movement is missing that. I feel like a lot of the, you know, the AF versus MAGA, the divide here is really only possible because we're all online all the time. We don't see each other face to face. We're not taking Ubers together like we did this weekend, where we're all just like dying, laughing, cracking up, you know, enjoying each other's company instead of sniping at each other over little details about whatever political drama happens to be dominating the conversation that day. So just getting together. But normally when we would travel before, it would be a big event. It would be CPAC or it would be a TPUSA event, and it'd be a big convention floor and fans and people coming in. It was always be chaotic. In this case, because the debates were just pre-recorded and done in a studio without an audience, what it meant was just for hours at a time, we were just sitting around chatting with all these, you know, influencers, personalities, whatever, political actors. Actors might not be the best word. People involved in the political realm. And it was really such a white pill. It was such a boost for me that you don't get anywhere else. So big thanks to Brandon Straka and the Walk Away Movement for putting the whole thing together and really providing a really unique opportunity for people on the right wing, the dissident right, and the more establishment right coming together. A lot of phone numbers were exchanged. A lot of connections were made. I'm sure we'll all be going on each other's shows now in the future. So really a very valuable thing. And of course, the biggest thank you and the biggest congratulations to Rex Jones, who totally held down the fort, has been absolutely killing it, has hit the ground running with his new career, which isn't even that new because he's been doing it since, well, before I even joined. But he absolutely killed it and did incredible stuff, and I look forward to seeing him a lot more on the network in the future. But a big thanks to Rex Jones for being there so that we can go out and do these important things. We'll be back on the other side with the headlines and the Hunter Biden interview. Don't go anywhere, folks.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but minbenzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search minbenzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776RX.health.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Monday afternoon. Very glad you're here with us as we settle back in. Sort of calmer waters. Feels like it's been totally crazy the last 2 weeks. Here at Alex Jones Network, of course, have been so happy to see Alex Rex Jones hit the ground running, being able to take over not just this show, but his dad's show, which, by the way, is not an easy thing to do. It's hard to find, you know, adults that have done this for years to carry on, in Alex's case, a four-hour show daily about these big topics, about these ultra-controversial topics, under the microscope of the leftist media, looking for anything you've said wrong. And how old is Rex Jones? He's like 25, maybe. I think he's 23. I think he's even less than that. It's totally incredible, really spectacular watching him. Like a duck to water. Confirmed, 23 years old. Of course, because I joined InfoWars in 2017, and I remember at the time he was like 14 or 15, and still we'd go out to lunch with the crew, and it'd be a bunch of 35-year-old, 40-year-old guys sitting around, and Rex Jones, the 15-year-old, is like holding court and like directing the conversation. I was like, this kid's going places, as if he had any option. With Alex Jones, your father. But again, it's been a crazy 2 weeks. So thank you to Rex Jones for holding down the fort and doing such an incredible job. Remember to follow him at Rex Jones News with a Z. And of course, the craziest thing is he's doing these shows. He's doing these 3-4 hour shows daily, and he's still putting on his own content. Anyway, cannot thank him enough. And it's really been incredible seeing him rise to the occasion. So expect to see a lot more of him. And of course, a big thanks to Brandon Straka for getting everybody together for the big debates this weekend that we did and are going to be truly spectacular. And that's all I'll say about that. But we're back. We're hitting the ground running. We've got gigantic doesn't do it justice, enormous. I mean, we're in the realm where we need a new vocabulary word to describe just how big this show is, considering the fact that I think I sent in over 80 videos today, and probably over 100 articles. We got a lot to cover. It's been a crazy weekend. We've got developments in the Iran war. We've got the DSA simultaneously taking over and collapsing in on itself. Very interesting stuff. AOC freezing her eggs. We'll talk about that when we get around to it. So many different variables to take in all of this. Of course, big leaders of the DSA being exposed now with videos talking about how they, you know, want to destroy white people. But no, they need to use white people's empathy to get into office. It's sort of similar to how we've been treating Anthony Fauci in the sense that none of this is new, but it is nice to see the perpetrators admit it. And there's that, too. There's more Fauci news having to do with the likelihood of miscarriages as a result of taking the vaccine that has just broken. We'll get to that in just a second. But I want to start today with clips from Hunter Biden and Tucker Carlson's conversation. Hunter Biden has been making appearances on conservative media recently. And I got to admit, off the jump, off the bat, I don't get this. I don't like this. I think a lot of people are falling for something here. Do we not remember who Hunter Biden is? Like, we'll play some clips, and a lot of them have to do with things like the Hunter Biden laptop. And there's a lot of questions about how the information from the laptop, quote unquote, was acquired. To me, what was important was the content of the laptop, showing the depravity of Joe Biden's son, reflecting on Joe Biden himself, but also on the ability of politically connected people to get away with their crimes, the very bizarre perversion at work there, the seemingly explicit calls to hire hookers and other such things. Or did we forget all of this happened? Did we forget that he spit paint on a canvas and sold it for $500,000 while his father was president? Now, I sort of get the impulse. I sort of understand people who, but this always happens. People who sort of have like had their illusions shattered about Trump, and you know what Trump is doing now with his sons really dwarfs any sort of speculation or even confirmed corruption from Biden and his family. So I sort of understand the impulse once you've had the illusion shattered to go looking for the truth and sort of taking the opposite view that maybe you took beforehand. I understand the impulse. It doesn't mean I agree with it. It doesn't mean it's a healthy or right thing to do. And it's not. It's certainly not. I don't understand why people are helping Hunter Biden rehabilitate his image, what the purpose of this is, what the point of it is, and why it's so easy for leftists. And you'll see it. We'll see when we look at videos from AOC and all this other stuff. They have the memory of a goldfish, and they expect you to also. And they will ruin your life. They will destroy you. They will hyperventilate about something you said and get you fired. And then like a month later, they'll turn around and go, that never happened. We never did that. You're crazy. You're a crazy liar for even saying that we did. Totally nuts. But that's sort of the Hunter Biden vibe I'm getting right now. Again, why are we trying to rehabilitate the crackhead, incestuous, corrupt scumbag son of the worst president of all time? I don't know. I'm not sure what the thinking is here. But is it really this easy? But the question I want to keep asking is like, is it really this easy? Is it really this easy to be the most humiliated, like deranged, psychotic loser in America? And then you can just be like, but I don't like Israel. And people are like, he's a good guy, actually. Actually, he's a great guy and he might be a genius and maybe he should be president. Is it really that easy? Because it does seem to be. And again, I can't help but connect this to the other videos we'll be showing you later. Mamdani, Al-Fayed, or whatever that guy's name is, AOC, who in their private lives are just the most hateful, vicious, despicable people you can possibly imagine. But then they're just like, hey, we just want things to be affordable, right? People go, vote for him. He's amazing. Please, for the love of God, can we stop falling for the pablum? Can we stop falling for the talking points? Can we stop falling for the obviously, you know, like orchestrated, organized, lab-tested phrases that are meant to invoke a response in you? Can we understand the manipulation going on here so we don't fall for it? I certainly hope so. So we'll show you some videos here. We'll try to talk about what's actually happening underneath the surface. But this interview just broke. Tucker Carlson interviewed Hunter Biden. The story is at alexjoneslive.com. AlexJonesLive.com. Hunter Biden joins Tucker Carlson for a wide-ranging interview. Former first son Hunter Biden joined journalist Tucker Carlson for a two-hour interview this week. They spent the day in Maine with Tucker, says we had a great conversation. The mere fact that we sat down with each other and had a civil conversation has apparently really pissed certain people off. I'm once again happy to be of service. It's out tomorrow. Enjoy. Again, as if, well, whatever. All right, well, we'll get into it. I once again understand and in a way I can appreciate what Tucker Carlson's doing here. I suspect that there's some political ambitions in the future and that the viability of a third party is only possible if you can get the left to come along with you. And we've talked about this a lot before when there were rumors about Tucker wanting to create a third party, or the image from last week of Marjorie Taylor Greene and Joe Kent and Tucker, and you know, change is coming, and Tucker puts out this, you know, 10-point manifesto, essentially, political manifesto that I totally agree with. I'm in favor of a third party. And like we said, this might be a totally unique opportunity in American politics to create a third party. And people are very much stuck in the old paradigm. This was part of the conversation we had. I probably shouldn't give too much away about the AF versus MAGA debate, just because we want it all to be a surprise. But this was certainly part of the conversation. And again, I feel like people are stuck in the old mindset of like the Libertarian Party, where, okay, the only people who are going to vote for the Libertarian Party are dissatisfied Republicans. So the Republican Party is the only party you're actually drawing votes from. And it's the only party you're hurting. So even if you don't agree totally with the Republicans, they certainly are on your side more so than the Democrats. So it can kind of be a self-defeating proposition. Or you can have the Green Party, and that they're only going to draw votes away from the left. But now we have a unique opportunity where people in both parties are deeply unsatisfied. People in both parties are upset in about the way that the more extreme elements of those parties are being treated. In other words, the DSA and the radical extremist anti-white communists are getting power in the Democratic Party, where the Republican Party has systematically eliminated anybody even slightly to the right of Donald Trump or who disagrees with Trump about Israel, treating their, you know, the outliers of their party very differently. But maybe this is a case to get those more normal, not communist Democrats who also don't want to support Israel's relentless drive to exterminate everybody who's around them to team up with the more radical right wingers who also are unhappy with the direction of America and unwilling to have the patience and the gullibility to trust the Republicans any longer. So anyway, I understand why he's doing this, but again, I just wanted to lay the groundwork that I don't think we should be giving Hunter Biden a pass at all about anything. But let's look at what he had to say. We'll judge for ourselves. We'll go first to clip A here. Why did Hunter Biden, why is he sitting down with people on the right, including people like Candace Owens? Let's watch.
Thank you for doing this.
Dr. Carlson.
I haven't seen you in 11 years. Talked about you.
In the meantime.
And then I wake up one morning and you're doing Candace Owens.
I love Candace.
I do too. Yeah. I do too. I've taken a lot of abuse for saying that, but I do. Yeah. I know her and I do. I think she's a great
person. As a person,
yeah.
Forget the politics and anything. And largely why I'm sitting here. We've known each other for, you know, quite tangentially for 30 years.
Yes.
Is that she, as a human being, is a really, really good person. Yep. And thoughtful and generous and has a deep faith. And I just vehemently disagree with some of her positions. And it used to be that way.
I remember.
Remember? I mean, when you and I knew each other, it wasn't as if our politics were much different.
Right.
Anyway, long story a lot longer is
that I'm having that experience with the New York Post at the moment.
By the way, welcome to my world.
Well, I'm not naked, but
yeah, hopefully naked pictures don't come out. I could call some of our friends.
Yeah. No one wants to see those.
Yeah. Well, I didn't think so either, but apparently they do. So anyway, long story short and long story longer, I go, and I do this with Sean, and Sean called, and this is public now, I can say it, is Sean had dinner with Candace. They live in the same neighborhood down there in Nashville. And he said, you know, I really, really like her. And she told my wife that one of the interviews that she most wanted to do was with me, with Hunter Biden. I'm not referring myself in the third person right now. I haven't gotten to that point yet. And, you know, I thought about it, and like you, and we've talked about this a little bit, but like you, Candace has said some really, really awful things, not just about me, but also about my dad, you know, the whole Biden crime family thing, but really, really kind of pointed things. And I believe that if I could sit down with her, not to convince her of anything, but to see that I was just as human as she was, and that I own my failings, and I've been incredibly transparent about them. And I thought that if we could find that, you know, commonality, that we could have an actual conversation, and that's what occurred. And I don't agree with Candace still on a lot of stuff, and I almost feel like why do I have to make that, you know, caveat as it relates to it? Because I never used to have to make that caveat. Going all the way back to the beginning of our conversation, how did it change? I truly believe that the level of vitriol, meanness, and cruelty in our politics has always been there, but never like this. Never in a way in which it is practiced with impunity. And that to me has, I think that I can mark it. Now, it's interesting that you say that your experience is that kind of division started in 2008, but nothing like this, Tucker.
Okay, but whose fault is that? But I have to wonder, whose fault is it? Who changed the cultural atmosphere of America to where people feel the need to discredit and denounce people just for talking to them? I don't agree with everything he says, but, you know, I do like this. And, well, I'll be friendly and nice with this person. That doesn't mean I endorse it. Who brought that about? Who's at fault? If you're going to, you know, blame a portion of the population, or did it just happen sort of organically and without one side being to blame? I think it's pretty obvious whose side is to blame. And again, I can't help but relate this to what we're going to see later with AOC talking about, oh, we were crazy under woke, that we don't do that anymore. It's like, yes, you do. You absolutely do. In fact, many of those things that were egregious and examples of just, you know, the cultural poison they bring along with them, they've now been enshrined into law. Like, they're now just like the practice officially from corporations and government. This never ended. It never stopped. And they've never apologized for it. They've never actually admitted they were wrong. They just don't want the backlash. They just don't want to be blamed for it. They just want to be able to absolve themselves of everything they did and blame you for bringing it up in the first place. Like, he talks about how nasty Candace Owens was. What did she say? She said Biden crime family. Well, your family is full of criminals, including you and your father. So I don't think that's particularly nasty. I think that's an accurate representation of reality. So what's nasty? I mean, the things you did were nasty, and reporting on them were inherently nasty because you're a nasty person. You engaged in nasty things. But once again, and I feel like I don't, like, what is it going to take to break out of this paradigm? What is it going to take? Because every single time there is a leftist attack, physically or culturally, the response from the right and the left is, well, both sides need to stop. And how many times on this show have we tried desperately to explain, this is not both sides. This is one side. It's always one side. It's always the left. The right is not doing this. The right does not call for violence. The right does not make up fake stories to destroy their opponents. The right doesn't hold people's feet to the fire for something they said in jest 15 years ago. That's all the left. What the right does will be delivered a hard drive or a laptop that has hundreds of gigabytes of extremely questionable material from the son of the president, and then they'll be censored by big tech in cooperation with the FBI and elements of the deep state American government to stop the story coming out in an attempt to sway the results of an election, almost certainly successfully doing so. Well, where's the equivalent of that on the right? Where's the equivalent of the power on the right to destroy people's lives for telling the truth? Where's the equivalent on, and not, and we wouldn't anyway, right? Obviously, if we had the power, we wouldn't use it. Maybe that's why we don't have the power. This gets a little complicated, doesn't it? We'll go to this next video. We're going to have to break it into two parts, but let's at least begin with clip B here, because they do bring up some interesting elements to the Hunter Biden story that I'm not sure change the laptop, like my interpretation of the contents of the laptop is not going to be changed, and they're not questioning the authenticity of the contents of the laptop, but how it came to public awareness is very interesting. And whether you believe Hunter Biden or not, it does give some insight into the sausage making behind the scenes of how this stuff is determined, whether or not it'll go viral, whether or not it'll make it to the mainstream. So let's watch clip B here. The unanswered questions of the Hunter Biden laptop story.
I have really only one question, one thing that has bothered me for years now.
Yeah.
8 years or whatever, 6 years, whatever it's been. And so I just want to ask you directly about it. So the laptop comes out or doesn't come out. I hear that it's in circulation. I get calls from people in that kind of shadowy way that you're familiar with.
Way before, right?
I can't, you know, I can't remember.
Anyway,
so much drama has happened, but you know, if you're in the news business or politics, like you know, people call you, there's this thing, you know, you hear everything all the time and like how much is true, you don't know. I heard about the laptop and then I heard, you know, so you don't know if it's real. And then I heard somebody calls me and goes, you're on the laptop. And because you had written a letter of recommendation for college for my son.
Yeah.
Who didn't end up going to the school or even getting in, but whatever. Yeah. It didn't help, it turns out.
Oh, thanks.
But anyway, I knew that it was real because who would know that we knew each other?
Yeah.
Right? No one could fake that. Yeah. And that our wives were friends and all stuff. Yeah. So, but it's Washington. You know everybody there. Yeah. So then I hear this story about how, then the official story comes out about how the laptop was left. You left a couple of laptops in a laptop repair store in Greenville, Delaware, which I'm a town I'm very familiar with. So, and the guy was blind. Then I interviewed the guy who seemed to totally believe the story, John McIsaac. I mean, he seemed to be telling the truth, but the story did not make sense. Meanwhile, we get approached by Israelis connected to Benjamin Netanyahu. Like I know that.
Yeah.
Who are shopping this stuff to me at Fox News.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't think that part of the story, the laptop is real. I thought that from day one, but the way that it entered the bloodstream
exactly.
of the American media was not real. So I just want to ask you point blank, did you drop off laptops?
No, and this is the thing that I've said over and over again. I have literally zero recollection or memory of ever dropping off a laptop at John Paul McIsaac's. No, the answer is no. And John Paul
McIsaac,
so John Paul McIsaac, who's legally blind,
yes,
who on the day when the laptop became public, sat outside of his shop and gave an interview and flat out says that he doesn't remember seeing me. He couldn't identify me. And also that his security cameras that he has don't have any footage from that time. And so regardless of anything, just this, the laptop, according to Lev Parnas, under oath in his testimony before the House Oversight Committee, was being sought by Rudy Giuliani in Ukraine in all the way back in 2018. And so Rudy Giuliani is working with a guy named Andrei Derkach, who was a MP in Ukraine and a known Russian GRU agent. So Rudy goes over there and basically takes his dossier and receives information that Hunter Biden's hard drive, not laptop, is for sale. And the person that they can go to is this other Ukrainian-Russian oligarch who is living in Austria.
All right, so we're going to pick this up on the other side. Let's pause it right there and back it up about 10 seconds so we can hit the ground running right there. And I got to admit, it makes the story of the laptop being found a little bit suspicious. Which we'll see if we can't, you know, connect the dots here and draw the lines in between what the official story is and what they're saying now. But I guess to sum up, what they're intimating is that this hard drive was somehow hacked from, the information was hacked from Hunter Biden, put on a fake laptop. Somebody went and dropped it off to a blind computer repairman saying they were Hunter Biden. And that's how it got into the mainstream media. We'll pick this up on the other side.
Do you want to try some?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. We'll send you some methylene blue. And if you guys want to get it too, you can get it from thealexjonesstore.com. I invented two proprietary products. Gavin, I'm a business owner, supplement formulator, Power Plant and Methyl Drive. You guys got to get them right now. Magnesium, CoQ10, PQQ, Rhodiola Rosea, Golden Root. It's got the cordyceps, the zinc, the selenium. It's got the boron as well. Raise your free testosterone, raise your ability to get through hard days and hard tasks, and ultimately raise the potential of the methylene blue that you're probably already taking if you're watching this network. We have that available for you. It's a really good deal, really good price. people just kind of across the internet have told me they've started taking it and they've been able to get to the gym again. They've been able to get through hard days at work again. Specifically, that Power Plant formula. If you're looking for something like Super Meal Vitality from back in the day, I basically invented a better version of that. That's called Power Plant. It's available solo or also in the Power Drive bundle at thealexjonesstore.com. Look up what proper magnesium does for your body. Look up what proper methylated vitamin B12 does for your body. All of that and more is in Power Plant and Methyl Drive, and you can get them all three together on the Power Drive bundle, along with the other phenomenal products. We have the turmeric. We've got the MK Ultra, which is a phenomenal multivitamin, also nootropic as well. Ultimate Burn. If you really, you're trying to lose a little bit of weight, here's the thing. I've been doing a good job. I'm almost down to like 205 now. If you want to join me on a weight loss journey, you can get yourself some Ultimate Burn. And all the other products we have, like Methylene Red specifically, are also great for that. Methylene Red also has that CoQ10. Get the turmeric, get the blue, get the gummies, get the colostrum. My grandma is not capping on jaw for real. It really helped her with her hair if you want it. We've got the T3 trifecta iodine, the absolute staple of the old network. We've got the Ultimate Sea Moss, Ultimate Turmeric, the bovine beef tallow. It's got the methylene blue inside the tallow. Incredible antioxidant, methylene blue. I already went over it, tried to with Gavin a little bit. We've got the zeolite, incredible for heavy metal support, dechelation, stuff like that. The Shilajit complex, we've even got smelling salts. Ultimate Life Force, which is absolutely incredible. It's got the natokinase in there. It's got things theoretically to, you know, attenuate certain anecdotal things with the spike protein. Not making a health claim there. Talk to your doctor. It's just a top-rated formula for a reason. The Ultimate CMOS gummies in another form. The creatine, the ultimate power. We've got tons of sales on the different forms and flavors of the Ultimate Power pre-workout. We've got the NAD. We've got the Methyl Drive. We've got the MK Ultra. We've got Optimal Human. I got drink mixes for you. I got powders. I got energy gum. This is what you need. We have an electrolyte powder. It is so important in the summer months to get proper electrolyte support. And if you look at a lot of these blends on the grocery store shelf, they are pure garbage. Get yourself some Optimal Human. Get yourself some beef tallow. Get yourself some Atomic Defense. All of that and more is available at thealexjonesstore.com. I did not even mention the water filtration, the shower filtration that we have, the Patriot apparel that we have, the collectible coins, memorabilia that we have. Literally everything that you could ever want theoretically or practically to support this operation, you can get at thealexjonesstore.com. This is what makes us different. Other people do a show so they can sell a product. We sell the best products in the world so that we can do the best show in the world. That's what makes this operation completely different, completely viewer, listener, supported, funded, owned by you at home when you decide, when you choose to make the decision to support us and get the phenomenal products at thealexjonesstore.com. I'm telling you again, the Power Drive Bundle, Methyl Drive, Power Plant, Methylene Blue, that is like the trifecta.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room Live. We are reviewing some clips out of the bombshell interview between Hunter Biden and Tucker Carlson. And I gotta say, it's not making things clearer so far. We'll return to the answer that Hunter Biden had to a question about his laptop. And this, again, this is why I say it's like looking behind the curtain, looking, you know, behind the scenes at the sausage making factory. Kind of everybody is lying all the time. They're also all friends behind the scenes. I think it's a bit of a revelation to me that Tucker Carlson asked Hunter Biden to write his son's a letter of recommendation to get into college. Like that, obviously the elite circles do things a little bit differently than us normal people. But like, and I didn't really even apply to college, so I don't even know who I would have asked. But I mean, you want to be pretty close to somebody. I mean, you're asking somebody to put their name to guarantee, you know, to argue in favor of their son. Like, you can kind of lose face if you're writing a letter of recommendation for somebody that you don't know. You got to know them at least pretty well for the letter of recommendation to mean anything. And you got to be pretty close overall to even ask the question, hey, would you write a letter of recommendation? Again, I can understand why Tucker would want to do that. And I understand that Tucker's been in D.C. for his entire life, intergenerationally. And obviously, the people who are at these higher levels are much more friendly behind the scenes than they seem to be up front. But again, I wonder about sort of the tightrope that Tucker is walking here, where he is, in a way, doing outreach to the left, possibly as a consequence of or in pursuit of political ambitions that he may hold. And so this is probably a pretty smart way to do it, especially if you're not trying to appeal to the radical DSA psychopaths, but more of the traditional, you know, Democrats who still, for some reason, think that Democrats are like they were in the 90s. You talk to the average Democrat and you're like, you know, well, what do you think about abortion? And they're like, oh, safe, legal, and rare. And it's like, well, that hasn't been the position for 20 years. For 20 years, the Democrat position has been up to birth as maximal as possible, as many as we possibly can, because they're selling the body parts for cash. But they're kind of on a, so I can imagine somebody like that watching this interview and going, you know, I never liked Tucker Carlson, but if he's willing to sit down with Hunter Biden, and if they're willing to break bread, and I really liked Biden, and they seem to be, you know, I can see why he's doing it strategically. But it is a tightrope walk. It is a risk, because on the other hand, you're going to make people on the right go, so wait, you were like good friends with Hunter Biden this entire time? Did you know what he was up to? Like, why would you ask that guy to write a letter of recommendation, except that you were interested in using his name, which falls in line with the patterns? But even as they're saying this, so he's about midway through, and we'll keep playing it here, the response about the laptop entering into the mainstream conversation. And interestingly, like bizarrely, I guess what they're going with is that it was Russian disinformation. It was a Russian hack job of some sort that for some reason it was laundered through a GRU, you know, secret agent from Russia who was in the Ukraine parliament, who got the stuff from a blind guy who Hunter Biden doesn't remember going to. But it's like, well, what do you remember from that time? Mr. Biden, would having a lapse in memory be consistent with perhaps some of your other lifestyle choices around that time? Were you not there, or do you not remember going there? Because those are two very different things. And even in a cursory glance of this, and maybe I should let it play because they get into the details where he's talking about, it's not the laptop, it was just a hard drive, it was just information, and they must have hacked my cloud. But hacking somebody's cloud will give you access to like their, well, I guess it could give you access to their passwords, but mostly, you know, it's like the big hack of people's iClouds of all the celebrities and their nude photos came out. Like, it's your photo roll, it's the information that you have stored on the cloud, but it wouldn't give you automatically access to like a Gmail account or private server email accounts where many of the emails from Hunter Biden originally originated. Again, why I say the sausage being made is everybody seems to be lying about everything all the time. So hard to put your finger on the pulse and figure out what's actually going on. But the FBI did gather the laptop from the guy who claimed that Hunter Biden dropped it off. And they confirmed that it was Hunter Biden's laptop. They connected the laptop itself and its serial number to the serial number of the laptop that was used to create the iCloud account that was Hunter Biden. So is the FBI lying, or is Hunter Biden lying? It's sort of a wash. I know, you know, it's not like, well, you know, one of these is very trustworthy, the other one's not. No, they both have very good motive to lie. But if you'll remember, the real scandal, there are two real scandals about the Hunter Biden laptop. The one was that it exposed very corrupt dealings, very dirty dealings, very suspicious dealings with some of his law partners, some of his business partners, references to 10% to the big guy. I mean, there was some pretty clear evidence of some malfeasance going on behind the scenes, but it was the real story, the real conspiracy about it was that it was censored by big tech at the behest of the Biden administration, at the behest of the FBI, rather, because this would have been the tail end of Trump's first administration. And yet it was the FBI reaching out to big tech and saying, we've heard there's Russian disinformation coming down the pipe, so we want you to be aware of it. So if there's no lapse in time, as soon as this information hits your platforms, we want you to take it down right away because it's Russian disinformation. Hunter Biden seems to be pushing that same line, which was never true because the information was accurate. How it was gathered, who found the information, who leaked it, I guess is what they're discussing now. But it was never a question that this was absolutely real information. It was real photos, real conversations had, right? So that's never been a question. And again, according to the FBI and according to the Wikipedia article about it, in December 2019, under the authority of a subpoena issued by a Wilmington grand jury, the FBI seized the laptop from Mac Isaac. FBI investigators handling Hunter's laptop quickly concluded in 2019 that the laptop was genuinely his, and did not seem to have been tampered with or manipulated. In June 2024, federal prosecutors utilized the laptop as evidence in part of a criminal case against Hunter Biden, alongside testimony from an FBI agent involved in authenticating and investigating the laptop. So again, just keep that in mind as we hear this, the conspiracy theory that Hunter Biden and Tucker actually are both about to lay out. I don't see how that's consistent with the forensic, you know, investigation that was done proving that it was, in fact, Hunter Biden's laptop and it was not tampered with. And maybe that's the FBI lying, but the one thing that makes me want to trust the FBI in this case is that they'd be much more inclined to hide and censor this stuff if you look at all their past behavior. You know, the FBI often lies, not usually to benefit the Republicans, the right wing conservatives, certainly not Trump and his administration. But of course, Israel is in here too. And once again, I just think I don't like Israel. I've never liked Israel. I've been against Israel more or less my whole life since I was aware of geopolitics as a concept. Been pretty well versed on the senseless and seemingly bottomless evil that bubbles out of Israel on a regular basis. That being said, just because somebody else doesn't like Israel doesn't mean they're right about literally anything else, or a good person, or a decent person, or even telling the truth about their feelings about Israel. So I don't understand why this has become such an easy grift for people to get support on the dissident right by merely being anti-Israel. It's clearly not enough. But let's get back to the conspiracy theory about how Hunter Biden's actual information ended up in the mainstream news.
Go to is this other Ukrainian-Russian oligarch who is living in Austria. That's what Lev Parnas and Igor Fruman were doing, getting on the plane before they were arrested.
So how did
before this, John Paul McIsaac was ever a twinkle in anybody's eye?
I believe that the story that was always the weak part of the story. Like he drops off laptops.
So even John Paul McIsaac, okay, from there is no such thing as a laptop. The laptop that he eventually turns over a year later, 18 months later, to the FBI. The thing that is distributed and disseminated, that John Paul McIsaac claims that he got off of a device, was a hard drive. And that hard drive had a limited amount of information, a limited amount of like gigabytes. I don't know the difference between a gigabyte and a whatever. And that goes into the hands. He somehow can't find anybody. You can't throw a stone in Trolley Square without hitting someone that knows me personally.
Right.
And he knows that. He's lived there his whole life. Instead, what he finds through this guy, Applebaum, is Rudy Giuliani's lawyer, Bob Costello. He turns over this hard drive. The hard drive becomes the platform from which all of the other stolen information from, which, by the way, every single forensic expert has made it clear, is that there's no possible way all of the information that was eventually labeled as my laptop came from one laptop. It's like it's way too large.
Came off the cloud.
Exactly. They hacked my cloud. I write about this in this book.
One.
So on Substack, I'm laying all of this out.
Again, let's pause it right there real quick. And we'll go back and again, let him explain it. But this is being presented as if this is like discrediting to the original story. If you have a Mac laptop, this is not confusing at all. If you get into the laptop has your photos, has your chat, and has your email. It has everything on the laptop. It might not be on the hard drive, but there, it's kind of hard to tell. Like, it looks like it's on the hard. There's like a preview that's on the hard drive, but then it actually gets the thing from the cloud. But this isn't really a distinction. He's saying, well, nothing, you know, all of this couldn't fit on a single hard drive. First of all, yes, it probably could. You know, you can get a terabyte hard drive in a MacBook and store plenty on that. A lot of video, a lot of photo, a lot of like endless text. So the idea that this is too much information for a single laptop doesn't even really make sense, especially not when that laptop is directly linked to the cloud. Having the laptop would effectively give you all of that information. You wouldn't even really have to hack it. The only hacking would be getting into the laptop itself. Once you're in that, all the photos are there for all intents and purposes. I mean, you open up the Finder window, the file's there, you click it, you double click it. It might take an extra second to download from the cloud, but it pops up and it looks like it's on your laptop. So again, this is all very suspicious to me. I don't get his, like, so the laptop information was real, the photos are real, the communication is real, the hard drive, I guess he's saying, you know, he's like, it wasn't a laptop, it was a hard drive. Hard drives are inside laptops. This is not all that complicated. It's like, it wasn't a car, it was an engine. It's like, well, okay, but the car has the engine in it. So it's the important part. The hard drive is where all the information is in the laptop. It being removed from the laptop doesn't change anything. And again, this has been used in criminal proceedings. It was never questioned at that point. The FBI has testified under oath that they authenticated the laptop. That was never questioned or challenged in court, not successfully anyway. So we'll keep listening, but just keep in mind, this is contrary to everything else that we already know. Or at least he's doing what I like to say media does, which is tell you the truth, but leave you believing a lie. Everything he's saying is probably true. He probably doesn't have a memory of dropping it off at the store. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he did. He's probably telling the truth. He doesn't have a memory of it. Probably telling the truth that the guy is half blind. He's probably telling the truth that, you know, there's some guy in Ukraine that had also, you know, had access to the laptop, because apparently this information was being shared all over the place, the higher levels in secret. It doesn't discredit the laptop itself, what was contained in it, or anything about the official story. So far, I've seen nothing to contradict the official story. And yet, if you listen to this, it sounds like it's very mysterious how this all came together. Not in my memory. So let's go back.
And there's a whole, the NDI, the whole thing about, there's these different silos. There's the Netanyahu silo, the Israeli side. There is a Russian-Ukrainian side of it. And then there are the U.S. actors that include Steve Bannon, Rudy Giuliani, Miles Gao, and a whole bunch of, you know, Lev Parnas and Igor Fruman and all of these guys.
Well, once the material starts circulating, the data from the cloud,
yeah,
you know, all kinds of people get involved and they're shopping it for different reasons. Yeah. And I agree.
Yes. And so, my point is, who stole it? Well, from the cloud?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. You have as good a guess as mine in terms of actually who was the original hacker of that information, who has the capacity to be able to do it. And so, you know, I have
but
my.
But you don't have evidence.
I don't have a digital forensic evidence that it was hacked by this person or this entity or this organization, that it was Mossad or that it was the GRU or that right. It was or that it was some kid in his basement and right. Figured it out. But here's the point. Overall, here's the thing. Is I get caught in these conversations about all of this. But the reality is this. Of what was distributed that was authentic, it's all mine. All those emails.
Yeah, I got it.
Buckley. And you know what? You know what not a single one of them proves? Of any criminality of my father whatsoever. Of any way in which I ever sent an email saying, hey, Dad, I need you to get this done on behalf of a client of mine. Now, I think that's dispositive. And I challenge anybody. Because it's all out there.
Just 10% to the big guy.
And I'm not just talking about my emails. I'm talking about 20 years of emails. I'm talking about 20 years of text messages. I'm talking about erased voicemails. Like deleted voicemails. Deleted photographs.
They don't actually delete, is what you're saying.
They clearly don't. I mean, voicemails. from my dad to me. And but that's not the only voicemail that was out there. There, but not a single one of them in which I say, hey, when my dad is in office or in power as vice president or president, in which I say, hey, dad, I need you to do this for me, or even contacting one of his staffers. So either I'm incredibly, incredibly, incredibly good at, you know, inactive addiction as a crack addict, or it doesn't exist. It truly, literally doesn't exist. The entire narrative of the Biden crime family.
Again, I don't see that. I don't understand how that discredits anything. I mean, 10% to the big guy. We have example after example. I mean, all this stuff was, you know, 6 years ago at this point. I'm just like racking my memory, trying to remember all the crap that was exposed during the Hunter Biden laptop series. And it says 10 held for H for the big guy. The H in that is Hunter Biden, and the big guy 100% is Joe Biden. Why do you say that's 100%? It's crystal clear. There's nobody else that would be listing as the big guy. So again, yes, it does. It does show tit for tat. It shows quid pro quo negotiations. It also talks about him introducing people to his dad. We don't have the we don't have the contents of that conversation. So again, I feel like this is just a lie, just playing on people's gullibility and just going, you know, it didn't prove anything. It didn't show anything wrong. It's like, well, first of all, yes, it did. Second of all, why would they lie and conspire with big tech to silence it if it wasn't bombshell information? Why did 51 intelligence agents sign a letter claiming it was Russian disinformation when you acknowledge that all of it was absolutely true? Again, the conspiracy around this of the FBI warning big tech companies not to spread this information, Twitter taking down New York Post's entire account because they posted it, claiming it was hacked material. There's been no evidence it was hacked material. There has been court-presented evidence to the exact contrary. The 51 intelligence agents writing a letter, not saying it was Russian disinformation, saying it had all the hallmarks of Russian disinformation. That way, they could justify asking people to censor it because it might be Russian disinformation, but when it comes out that it's not, you can say, well, we never said it was. Yeah, very sophisticated stuff here. I hope you're not falling for it. Let's go to clip C now. Again, Hunter Biden with Tucker Carlson. And again, I'm not trying to rain on Tucker's attempt here to do whatever it is he's doing, but I really don't see the value of rehabilitating Hunter Biden and trying to claim that his laptop was anything other than what it was, which was a bombshell story about the corruption of the Biden family that dropped just before an election, but was completely censored at the behest of and with the cooperation of the intelligence agencies, who should have known better and should have investigated this stuff themselves, and then maybe, you know, wouldn't have been a big issue. But let's go now to clip number C, where they try to blame Israel for the laptop story. Again, could be true. There could be some validity in that. We know how obviously Trump administration has benefited Israel far, far more than the Biden administration. I don't doubt that they would have a motive to interfere in the election. But is this not just playing on people's preconceived notions about Israel in order to sway them emotionally? Let's go to clip number C here.
The allegation that there was abusive minors proven on the laptop, that came from the Israelis. I'm just telling you that. They came to me with that. So I know that. And one of the things that enraged me about the statement from those sleazy intel guys is that they blame the Russians for it. Now, maybe the Russians had a hand in it, but it was the Israelis who were pushing that fact. I mean, literally to me.
Yeah.
So.
And you've gone through it.
But they're all such slaves.
Is there anything? I want to clear with your entire, like, you know, not a single thing in my anything that is in any way true about that.
Well, that's such a serious crime that I think.
Yeah, what is he saying?
It's just common sense that if there was evidence of that.
You think that it's common sense, but I'll tell you what, about 40 million people on X don't think that. You know, I mean, it's like.
There was an abuse of minors in there? If there was evidence of
abuse. You know how many people call me a pedophile to this day? Anyway,
do we need to show the photos?
But I agree with you. That's exactly.
Do we need to show the photos?
You know, it's.
But they were pushing that so hard, and all the intel guys are like, oh, it's Russia. It's like, you lie.
you lie, because they called me. I sent one of my producers out to go meet with one of a guy connected to Netanyahu. They were behind that, and I felt that everybody in DC knew that. But there was so much pressure never to criticize Israel in any way that they were just like, it's the Russians. They're the ones penetrating our political system. It's like, you lie. Everyone knows what's actually happening. This was my perspective. And it drove me insane. And by the way, I didn't say that on Fox News. I'll admit it. I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't. You're right. I just want to say I was part of the problem also, but I knew it.
But that's a thing, Tucker.
Yeah, I agree.
So we're here now.
Yeah. No, I didn't
But we're here now.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why, just on a purely selfish basis for me, is that, like, I don't know how you could possibly have thought that of me. And by not saying it, I thought that you thought that of me. I mean, it is.
Thought that the child molestation thing?
Or whatever. Yeah. All of the stuff that they were saying, yeah. Or any of it. You know what I mean? Like
Well, people addicted to drugs, especially cocaine, I know for a fact, get pretty dark. That's just a fact. They do. They definitely do. And the cocaine thing.
By the way, it's all there.
No, you can watch it all. I guess I don't need to tell you that.
You can see the motel rooms.
You're not the only person I've seen this.
Exactly. But there's a big difference.
Screws up your sex thing.
Yeah. There's a big difference between that and the reality of what's out there, which is the worst thing that you can possibly say about any. And that's my point.
Yeah, I mean, what was your point exactly? I don't understand. I mean, do we not have his text messages where he's literally ordering hookers from people that are associated with some unsavory characters? Are there not photos of him being a little too close for comfort with some of his niece's underage friends? I mean, there's photos of this stuff. The incest, the dead brother's wife. Do we remember that aspect? So, like, what exactly is the... What is he discrediting here? What is he claiming didn't actually happen? He's like, look, I was a good whoremonger crackhead, but there's no proof I'm a pedophile. It's like, this is not convincing. I don't know who this is convincing. Certainly ain't convincing me. We'll show more clips of this on the other side, but we'll have to move on, especially because we have a guest in the third hour, Austin Franco, the young man who has basically become enemy number one of a lot of people for daring to suggest that he didn't want to work for Jewish people. Very excited to talk to him later in the show. So stay tuned for that. But we'll get back to Hunter Biden and Tucker. We got two more clips to show you on the other side. And then we'll move on. Remember, support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. Incredible new deals, incredible new products on sale now. Thealexjonesstore.com keeps us on the air and in the fight. And telling the truth and trying desperately to see clearly when even our allies seem to be mixed up in the fog.
Planet Earth, filter your water. Stop turning my frog friends gay. This I command.
The AlexJonesStore.com. Fight the globalist takeover now.
A scarlet martini before breakfast? You minx. Are you trying to outdo me in corruption? Or shall we make it a team effort?
Of course not, darling. This is Methylene Red from the AlexJonesStore.com.
The Ultra Methylene Red, madame. Bold, refined, and unapologetically potent. It optimizes cellular energy at the deepest level, delivers razor-sharp cognition, and ignites a warm, invigorating rush that spread through every vein.
Hey, I think this is my favorite Alex Jones shirt.
Dude, I totally agree.
Founding Fathers on Patrol. Washington and Lincoln rocking the latest Alex Jones shirt, marching past America's monuments. Liberty is awake. Visit thealexjonesstore.com now.
Darka, Darka, Muhammad Jihad! Darka, Darka, Muhammad Jihad! Darka, Darka, Muhammad Jihad! Muhammad Jihad. Darka, darka, Muhammad Jihad.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.